Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for these people here this morning. Lord, I do want to be a blessing. And Lord, most people in this room, Lord, know what we're going to be talking about this morning. And Lord, they've got more wisdom than I do. And Lord, but I pray, Lord, that this will just be a reminder and from your word. And Lord, help us to just take heed and just to maybe draw some application in our lives, Lord, this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Just help all the Sunday school classes this morning as they're being conducted. And pray that you just bless them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would go back to chapter 2, chapter 3, Isaiah, in chapter 1, last week we talked about the salvation and how that is a primary theme of Isaiah, and how that there were people that were doing the works of a saved Christian, but they did not have true salvation. And then we also compared that to how, yes, you can have true salvation, but your works also need to go with it. And there's a balance there. And we talked about that last week. But in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we basically just see an interaction between God and the first five verses of chapter 2, there's a promise to the children of Israel about what's going to happen at the end. From then through chapter 3, we also see then that the reason that God is going to bring judgment and stuff like that. And then we have this story. It's, if you would, a parable. Parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we see this parable in chapter number 5. And we're going to focus on that today. And what it is, and if you remember, I probably don't remember, but I think it was last week we talked about Hosea. We actually referenced this this story, and if you remember, we talked about how there was bounds, and stepping out of the bounds brings consequences, and how the husbandman of this vineyard built a wall around the vineyard. Okay, and we talked about that briefly. So we're coming back to this story, but in chapter 5, it basically just gives us this story about a man who has a vineyard, and he places it in a very good spot. And he did everything that he possibly could for this vineyard, all right? And it just gives the story of what happens. I want you to take your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to kind of use this as a cross. We're going to pull from both of these parables at the same time. Luke chapter 13, verse number 6. Bible says he spake also, Luke 13, verse 6, the Bible says he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So we're going to use these two stories, and we're going to draw some principles out of these two stories this morning. We basically have two interactions, two people here, or two subjects, if you would, of these two stories. First of all is the husbandman, okay? The husbandman that either built the vineyard, as in Isaiah chapter number 5, or the husbandman in Luke chapter 13 that is responsible for taking care of this vineyard. So we have the first person, which would be the husbandman. Okay? The second, which we're going to talk about, is the vineyard. So we have the husband and the vineyard. And these both these stories are basically an interaction between a man that planted something and his vineyard. Okay? So I want you to notice some things about the husbandman. First of all, notice, if you will, about the husbandman, his care for the vineyard. His care for the vineyard. So in Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." So he puts it in a very good spot. He doesn't put it in, you know, a clay knoll or anything like that. He puts it in a well-drained location. Notice, if you will, his care for the vineyard in verse number 2, "And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Verse number 4, "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." All right. Verse number 6, "And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged." So that refers to the fact that at some point this vineyard, he took care of it. He pruned it. He digged around it. He cultivated, if you would. He loosened the soil so it had the opportunity to grow. So we see here the husbandman and his care for the vineyard. You know, folks, God cares for us in very much the same way. And God's care for us is really quite an amazing thing. If you look at your life, none of us have reason to complain. Yeah, we're human. We always find something to complain about. But really, God's been good to us. You could be in a lot of different situations. You could live in a different country. But you know, God planted us in a fruitful hill, the United States of America. Okay? He planted us in Indiana. I mean, there's a lot of states in the United States. I mean, I would feel privileged to live anywhere in the United States. But honestly, I'm pretty content right here in Indiana. I'm content in this area of Indiana. You know, it's nice being able to go out. You know, in all parts of Indiana, you're not able to go out, and if you want to build a shed behind your house, that you can build a shed behind your house without having some government official telling you you can do this. Or, you know, Brother Tommy, you go through, you know, more stuff than most of us because of the nature of his livestock facilities. And it's a hassle going through higher up government that says you have to put your, you know, manure in a certain spot, and you have to have certain amount of, you know, they look at how much water runoff, they look at everything. But you know, we're pretty blessed to live in Green, Sullivan, Clay counties. They're pretty liberal as far as what you're allowed to do. And I know this is a very carnal, you know, but we're blessed. I don't go to Terre Haute, honestly. I have had offers to go to Terre Haute to do side work. I don't go to Terre Haute to do side work because of the permits you have to have, the licensing you have to have. It's ridiculous. All it is a big money thing. You know, so be, you know, grass is always greener on the other side, but you know what? I'm pretty happy right here. We're blessed as a church. We are blessed as a church that God gave us this piece of property where we're at. You know, there's a lot of places. If I wanted to build this playground out here, we would have had to have permits like you would not believe to build that out there. Simple. And we can just go out and do whatever. I mean, within reason. I think you understand that. But we're very blessed to be here. And you know what? And this goes beyond that. But there's other people that live in different parts of the country. And I'm not saying that God didn't place them where he wanted them. But you got to look at your situation and be thankful that God had put you where you're at. Don't always be looking for something else. He planted him in a fruitful hill. There was pruning involved. Pruning is essential for proper plant growth. Most people don't realize that, but you can have an apple tree. I planted an apple tree and two peach trees. I think I told you I bought those, but I planted those three trees yesterday. So I kind of my mind is already thinking along these lines, I guess. You know, I planted those trees yesterday, and when you first plant a fruit tree, you trim it. You would think that it's going to die. You trim so much off of it. If you trim it and you prune it right, you would think it's going to die. Well, why are you taking so much off? Because I'm trying to get that tree. I'm not just wanting one of those Bradford pear trees. I think those are the, sorry, if I offend you with a Bradford, that's like my pet peeve is why would somebody buy a fruit tree, a pear tree that doesn't produce pears? And then every windstorm, I guarantee you go by some place that's got a bunch of those Bradford pears. Anytime you have a big wind, there's a tree gone or half a tree gone. And then you got, half a tree because they always split about 2 foot off the ground or 3 foot. They'll split into two sections. And you almost always lose one. Anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine. But, why would you get a tree that doesn't produce something? It's not even big enough for a shade tree, okay? It's pretty for 2 weeks in the spring. And that's it. They're done. I guess it kind of goes well with what we're talking about. But you know what? You prune a tree to get it to produce fruit. That's why you prune that tree. There was digging involved, chapter number 5. We can go to Luke chapter 13, verse number 8. And he said, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. There was digging involved. Going back to the pruning. Pruning is a removal of excess. And in our lives as Christians, and this is just practical stuff. Nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. But sometimes you question why God does certain things in your life. And that as a Christian is one of the world throws that in our faces. Why did God allow that to come into their life? I don't know all the reasons, but I think sometimes, we don't understand when God prunes something. Think about that. When God takes part of the plant away, takes part of what you would consider, well, that's a nice looking, that's healthy, that's part of my life, and God takes it. You don't understand always when a loved one dies, especially a loved one that dies out of season, out of time. Why did God take that? Maybe it's a possession, and maybe it's something you have. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's, but why? Why? Maybe it's a pruning process. Maybe that God knows in order for you to produce more fruit, something has to be gone. Something has to be removed. And it hurts. It hurts. But it's a removal of excess. It could be a removal of, if I saw a branch coming out of an apple tree that is not a good branch and it's got maybe some disease in it, that would obviously be that would be the first thing you prune. And sometimes God looks at your life and God looks at my life, and there's some stuff that if I don't get rid of that, that's going to take over his whole life and kill him completely. So God takes that away. Digging about it, I went back to pruning, but digging about it, this is all under the care for the vineyard by the husbandman. The digging about it, the cultivation. You can't take a tree. My wife asked me yesterday, I got these trees, they're in pots, okay? Like the trees you see, buy them in pots. I don't know, five-pound pots, or I don't know what they are. She asked me the other day, I was planting them the other day, and I had a post hole digger on the back of my tractor. She's like, why don't you just dig a hole with the post hole digger? In theory, sounds like a good idea. But the only problem is, there's only a 10-inch auger or something on that. Well, the pot was at least 10, probably 12 inches. Well, you can't just dig one hole and then, cram it down in there and then hope for it to survive. Because the roots need to have loose soil that they can start getting strong and go out. So I dug, 2 foot, 2.5 foot hole to put them in. Why? So the roots had ability to go out, to spread out. While they're still young and while they're not strong, yeah, when they get stronger, they can push through anything. You go to any city, here's another thing. Why in the world they plant trees beside a sidewalk is beyond me. Or in the middle of a sidewalk, case in point up here. Because within a few years, those tree roots are going to bust that concrete and it's going to push it all up and heave it up. And then they got to go in and tear it all out anyway. But after time, those roots will be strong enough to go through. But at the start, they're not. They're too fragile. And the husbandman knows that, so he digs around. He gives it room to grow. Dunging, what that is? That's fertilizer, okay? Yesterday, I went and same thing. I was planting these trees yesterday, so I scooped out the big holes, and then I went up to the horse barn, and I got a whole bucket full of horse manure. And so I put some in the bottom of the hole, and I set the tree in there, and then I filled completely around it. These things ought to be like 10 feet tall by the end of the year. I mean, they look great, or I hope they do. I probably put too much in, and I'll kill them. That's probably what I did. But if not, they're going to look really good. So the first few years is going to, you know, if you got an apple off of it, it's going to taste like horse manure anyway, so you might as well not eat them. But, you know, but what did I do? I wanted to give it the best opportunity possible. And, you know, well, man, you're using horse manure? Yeah, it's what's good for that plant. And there again, folks, sometimes you don't understand why God brings things into your life. You just got to trust that the husbandman knows best, that God knows best. It's the pruning, it's the cultivating. We don't understand it, and I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm really not. But don't let it make you bitter. Don't let it make you sour. As we see here, it didn't produce good grapes, it produced sour grapes. How many has ever eaten a wild grape? Ever eaten wild grapes? You can find them. They're all over the place. You know, the grapevines, the big grapevines. There's, you know, they do have grapes on them. They're about the size of a pea, something like that. And the seed inside of them is probably 3/4 the size of the grape. So all it is basically a big seed. But you know what they are? Extremely sour. They're extremely sour. They're about like eating a gooseberry, if anybody's ever eaten a gooseberry. Gooseberries are real sour too. But that's what a wild grape is. It's very sour. It's not the sweet, you know, the big, lush, you know, grapes that you get. That's not that at all. It's a very, very sour grape, but it's a wild grape. So the husbandman, his care for the vineyard, if you would notice in verse number 2, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. Planted it with the choicest vine. You know what the choicest vine means? He went and got the very best root stock that he could. He didn't pick something that was, you know, secondary. He got the choicest because he wanted this to produce the best. You know what? God could have chosen, and this goes across the board for mankind, God could have chosen to use any of his creation to have a personal relationship with, to offer salvation. I'm going to probably offend somebody here, but you know what? Humans are the only ones that God saves. Okay, God was not going to save your dog, okay? Salvation is not offered to your pet, okay? Now, I know a lot of people, you know, they want to believe that, and okay, whatever, you can believe whatever you want. But God offered salvation to us to make a choice because we can make a choice about it, okay? God doesn't offer salvation to, you know, the ostrich and the flamingo and you know, the little pussycat, okay? It's the human. You know what God did? He chose his premier creation to offer salvation to. And you know what a lot of people do? They reject it. And that's a choice. That's a choice. You know, the rocks all praise God. The rocks all know that God is creator. The Bible says that. The birds all know that God is creator. Dogs know that God is the creator. But sad to say, some humans don't want to believe that God is the creator. But God chose us. The choice is mine. Secondly, his protection of the vineyard. Not only is the care of the vineyard, and God takes great care of us, but the protection of the vineyard. In verse number 2, and he fenced it. And in he built a tower in the midst of it, all right? In Luke chapter 13, we can go back and we see that there was also protection for this fig tree. But God also provides protection for us. God gives us that protection. And many times in my life, I know that God has protected me despite my stupidity, okay? And you can look at your life and think of the times that, you know, me and my wife we went out. We don't usually get to go out a whole lot, but we went out on, I had to run to Terre Haute for something on Monday night, or was it Monday night? Or I don't remember. It was later in the evening on Monday or something. And We was going up on 46, the back way to Terre Haute, and right off of the I-70, where they're doing all that construction, a semi had got off the road somehow. He was pulling doubles, and he had got off the road, and the semi had flipped over the overpass and was laying, like, right there beside the road. And they had cleanup crews and stuff there. And you think how many times God has delayed you for some reason. And you don't always understand why God delayed you or why something came up. But, you know, if you was at the right place at the right time, there's nothing you could have done if you would have been under that semi. You would have never seen it coming. I mean, even if you're a good defensive driver, you never would have seen it. Now, we were several hours behind the fact. It just made me think, though, you know, God has his hand of protection on us, okay? And you think about that. Well, Brother Chad, what about this pruning thing? Well, still, in that is also a sign of God's protection, okay? You could cut the whole tree down. You could. And we see that in Luke chapter 13, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the protection of the vineyard. But in regard to the husbandman, let me also say this. The husbandman also expected something out of his vineyard. So we have the care of the husbandman, the protection from the husbandman, but the expectation of the husbandman. In verse number 4 in chapter 5 of Isaiah, "And what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes," he was looking for something. He was looking for fruit. "When I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." All right? And let's go flip over, if you would, back to Luke chapter 13. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none." So in the first illustration, we have a man that went to find grapes, but not only did he not find what he was looking for, he found the opposite of wild grapes. And then in Luke chapter 13, we see a man who went and he looks for fruit and there is nothing, nothing at all. And you know what, God, I didn't plant those trees yesterday for Arbor Day. Okay, now if you're an Arbor Day person, you know, I think people ought to plant trees, it's a good investment, but I didn't plant them just for the fun of planting. I've got a lot of other stuff I could have done with 2 hours of my time than go plant some trees that very well could die. I have no clue. I mean, they might die. But you know why I planted those trees? It's because I want fruit. I'm wanting something to come out of those trees. Okay? I don't just plant them just for the sake of it. Honestly, this is one thing I wish I would have done young. If I would have known, and you don't know where God puts you, but if I would have known younger that I would have been able to get that piece of property, I would have planted trees when I was 18. Because why? Because now I have to wait 3 or 4 years before I get fruit. I would have been having fruit off those trees for years now if I would have been able to plant them. But you don't know where God's going to put you, and you don't, you know what I mean. But why do I plant a tree? Why I'm looking for pecan trees. You don't find pecan trees around here. Most of the time they're grown in southern, but they can grow around here. A lot of people don't realize that. It's just a species of hickory, basically the same family as a hickory tree. And I want pecan trees. Have you ever gone to the store to buy pecans? It's outrageous. Anyway, but I'm gonna plant some pecan trees. But you know what? Honestly, I may never get a whole lot of fruit out of a pecan tree. You know, it has to get pretty good size before it. But you know what? My kids might enjoy the benefits of something that I planted. But I'm still looking for fruit. I'm still looking for that fruit. Okay? So the husbandman, he planted this with the idea of, I want fruit out of this tree. You know, God has a right in your life and in my life to expect something. He should expect some fruit. This goes back to what we talked about last week about the works. You know, God gives you every opportunity. And it sometimes it saddens me, and I understand it because I'm still close enough to these young people. I understand where they were at when they were younger. I'm still close enough in age. But you see a young person that grows up in church, has every advantage, the protection of the vineyard. Yes, they may go through pruning in their life, but you see them grow up, but there's no fruit. You know what in Luke chapter 13, the husbandman said he wanted to do? What did he say? I'm going to cut it down. I don't see any fruit. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why cumbereth it the ground? If these fruit trees, now I have an A pollinated tree, I got to get a B pollinated trees for my apples. The peach trees are both self-pollinating, so they can pollinate themselves. But the apple tree I have, I need the pollinating mate for it. And there's several varieties, but I do have to get that. But if these trees don't produce, why in the world am I going to mow around it? I'm not. I'm not weed eating around a tree that's not producing something. And you know, that's exactly the way the husbandman thought. Why is this tree cumbering the ground? It's just sapping up nutrients out of the ground. I'm going to plant something here. Listen, I want to put something here that will produce fruit. That will produce fruit. You know, folks, there's all different ages in here of people. Let me just throw this out there as a challenge. If God hasn't taken you home yet, there is still fruit that you could produce. If God hasn't taken you home yet, that means He's not done with you yet. When God takes me home, you know, sometimes you don't. I could die today. I could. You know what that means? Two things. Maybe there's somebody that could be reached through my death that could not be reached through my life. And if that's the case, then so be it. Or maybe God's done. I hope God's not done with me, because if God's done with me now, I mean, that means the rest of my life I wouldn't have produced anything. But maybe, like I said, maybe there's somebody I can reach when I die that I couldn't reach living. And if that's the will of God, then that's perfectly fine. But if God's not, if you're not dead, if you're not, when you die, the husbandman is finished. You've done your work, you've bared your fruit. But if you're not dead yet, well, Brother Chad, I'm an older plant, if you would. Sometimes the older plants produce the best fruit. Okay? They do. Well, I can't do as much, but you can still do something. You can still do something. Okay? So I just want to throw that out there. You know, God's not done with you yet. As a husbandman, why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking up nutrients? If God looks at some, and you see this sometimes in young people, you know, why did God take them so early? I don't know. Like I said, there could be several reasons. But could one of them be that God thought, well, I'm not going to have them breathing my air and taking up room on my earth any longer. They're done. Okay? But in Luke chapter 13, praise the Lord, we see something that God is the God of second chances. And God gives you more chances. Boy, Brother Chad, I haven't produced anything for a long time. Well, God wants you still to produce. God still wants you to produce fruit. But God has a right to expect fruit, just like the husbandman had a right to expect fruit from his. Let me say this about the vineyard, and we'll be done. Just a few things here quickly. The vineyard, first of all, it was given an opportunity. Every one of us has been given an opportunity. You're alive, you're breathing, you're given an opportunity. The vineyard was given an opportunity. Honestly, the vineyard was given a great opportunity. He had a husbandman. This vineyard had a husbandman that put it in a fruitful hill. He pruned it. He dunged around it. He digged around it. He kept the briars and thorns. Had a great opportunity. Let me ask you, what are you doing with that opportunity? So we have the vineyard. It was given an opportunity. But this vineyard, in both situations, wasted its opportunity. It wasted its opportunity. So it was given an opportunity. It wasted its opportunity. And then look at this, the last thing. The opportunity that was given to the vineyard was taken away and given to another. the opportunity that was given to the vineyard was taken away and given to another. Okay? So it was given an opportunity, it wasted its opportunity, and then its opportunity was taken away and given to another. In verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 5, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down." In Luke chapter 13, verse 7, this said, "He unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And verse number 9, "And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." All right? An opportunity is taken away. I don't want to be one that God has given me a good heritage, a good church. Honestly, I have no... Brother Chad, why do you work... What's the main reason you work here at church? Are you called to pastor? No. I don't feel like I am. I've had people ask me that. Why do you work at church? Because I feel like in my life, and this is me personally, I'm not saying this is true across the board, but in my life, I've been given too much not to give back to God as much as I can. I've been given too much. I've been given too many opportunities. I mean, it's like the plant that, you know, has been, got the little extra care, you know, the little extra dose of Miracle-Gro, okay? Why wouldn't I want to give back as much as I can? And honestly, I wish I could do more. I don't do enough for God. I know. I should do more. But an opportunity has been given me, and I don't want to waste that opportunity. Because if I wasted the opportunity, it might be taken away from me. It might be taken away from me. Maybe, you know, these are what I work with right here. And God's blessed my hands to be able to do different things. Maybe God take away the hands. If I quit serving God with my hands, maybe God would take away my hands. If I quit serving God with my eyes and my mind, maybe I'll be laying in a senseless coma someplace. So why would... As a vineyard, the husbandman has put so much into me. Why wouldn't I want to give back to God? You know, Brother Chad, that's just you. Well, God saved you too. And God's given all of us opportunities. Now, God doesn't lay it on everybody's heart to do what I'm doing. And that's perfectly fine. But are you doing something? Because the husbandman does expect fruit. Or why cumbereth it the ground? Why cumbereth it the ground? You know, I think of the man Andrew, the disciple Andrew. You don't read a book in the Bible written by Andrew. You don't see a lot that was done by Andrew. But you know the one thing that Andrew did, and that Andrew showed twice that he could do? Andrew brought people to Jesus. So, Brother Chad, was Andrew an apostle Peter? No, but he brought Peter to Jesus. Was he responsible for feeding the 5,000? No, Jesus was. But he brought the little boy who had to Jesus. So you say, Brother Chad, I can never do this or this or this. Well, what can you do? I think everybody in here still has the ability to talk. You know what you can do? You can be a witness for Jesus. That's something everybody... Is there some... You know, why cumbereth it the ground? Is God done with you yet? If you're still alive, no. I want to say that this morning. No, God's not done with you yet. If something is not producing fruit, I'm cutting it down. I'm taking it away. You know, you got to be saved to produce the right kind of fruit. You got to be saved. And if you're not saved, you never will produce fruit. As much as you try, you can never... You know, most of these apples, if you buy an apple tree, in order for it to stay true to its heritage, you know what is true about it? It must be from the original plant. You know how many Granny Smith apples there are in the United States, or apple trees? Thousands, hundreds of thousands. And they all, at some point, every one of them, if it's a true granny apple tree, can be traced back to an apple tree in Australia behind a lady's house who they called her Granny Smith. If you want a true Granny Smith apple, it has to come from, you can't plant a Granny Smith apple seed and have a Granny Smith apple tree. It has to come from the original. And you know what? As a Christian, you cannot produce good works that Christ would want you to produce unless you have Christ living in you. It's impossible. You can produce something similar, but you cannot produce the real thing. How do some Christians, you see the joy of the Lord on their face, and then there's other Christians that look like they're faking it? Why is that? Because some of them have true joy of the Lord, and some of them are faking it. They're trying to be a copycat, as we looked last week. They're trying to produce the works, but without the true thing. All right? That was kind of besides the point. But you know, if you're not saved, you can't produce. Well, I just struggle with living the Christian life. Well, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And I know, you, Brother Chad, this is the older class. I know, but there's still older people that aren't saved. I'm not saying there's any in this room, but there could be. But make sure you have that settled if it's not. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, help me to be a fruitful branch for you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the opportunities that you've given me. Lord, thank you for even when I haven't been producing fruit, that you've taken the extra 3 years or however many years, Lord, and digged around it and give me some extra nourishment and just waited to see if I would still produce fruit for you. Thank you for those second chances. Lord, I pray that you'd help all the folks in here this morning, Lord. Help us to look for opportunities to produce fruit, to have good works come from us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We'll just give you praise and glory for everything that's done today. In Jesus' name, amen.